You've been a very good kitty today. You noticed that there was nothing going on in your mistress's lab. So you clambered up onto the huge alchemy table where she keeps her experiments. And you found a beaker full of something that your studies as an apprentice tell you will not actually destroy the lab. And you push it onto the floor slowly, the delightful tinkle filling the air. And then you find your favorite pillow is coated in catnip, rubbing your face on it, extending your powerful claws for a luxuriating stretch that shakes your legs, your arms, expelling all unnecessary things, leaving just a necessity. You have been a very good cat today, leaving scratch marks, leaving the scattered remnants of some adventure for your mistress to find. Surely she'll praise you. Of course, why wouldn't she? Why would she not? You've never done a single thing wrong. You considered licking up the liquid and seeing what strange form or color it would turn you into, but it smelled bitter and you didn't feel like it. Besides, the catnip was right there. The buzz in the back of your brain makes you feel excited. You can feel your pupils dilate. You can feel her presence in the area, radiating into you. It's lovely to have her around, and the praise she's bound to give you for the beaker, for the scratched pillow, for the way that you look truly, completely, like you have giant nonsense eyes. These are the things expected of a good kitty. You know it. She should know it. You think she forgets sometimes. Your mistress can be quite silly. Well, kitten, do I have the right idea? I'm going to have to punish you. Discipline around here would simply go to the dogs if I let my kitty, my personal kitty, get away with something like this. Now, where did I put my hairbrush? No, come here, kitty. Psst. Come here. Up into my lap, yeah. I know you love to be here. I've made sure you love to be here. Right where you belong. Yes, here you can have some scritchins. Under your chin, behind your ears. But as I stare at the remains of my experiment, don't think you've gotten off that easy. Don't give me that no, who, me, look. You know better. Lay out across my lap. I'll sit back on the bed. Anchor your hips above mine. At no grinding. I know you're horny, but come on. There's a time and a place. And right now, it's time for... Oh, you're so soft. Good kitty. Hey, you're not supposed to be getting praise, but you are a good kitty. Anyway, stay. Yeah, with my hand on the back of your neck, you're not going anywhere. Do you feel it kick in? Once upon a time, I imagine you wouldn't have, but now that you're a good kitty, once I have the scruff of your neck, do you feel how you go limp all over? Do you feel how submission flows from connection with my hand? There's a few extra tricks there, but you get the general idea. Now, stay. Yes, yes, I know you squirm at that, but you're going to stay here. Laid over my lap. Feel the brush running through your fur. I know you can groom yourself, but isn't it nice when I do it? All the bristles rubbing against your skin through your fur. Gently moving one way, then the other. One way, then the other. Back and forth. Back and forth. I was going to spank you with this brush, you know. look so comfortable. And it's illegal to move a cat once they're on your lap. Stay. Good. Ear scratchings. Good kitty. Relax. I guess you get enough discipline from my sweetheart above deck. What am I going to do with you? I'll just have to use you in the next experiment. You can knock yourself off a table all you want. Brat. Here. Scritchins. Petting. Yes, yes. Curl up. Here, I'll lay back on the bed. You can pick which side. I have two of the same pillow, so you can't occupy them both this time. Don't give me that look. No, I won't stack them. Lay back. There. Hand on the back of your neck again. Good kitty. Submissive kitty. Put your face on my breast. There. Snuggle up to my side. Good. I know you'll go scratch at the door as soon as I really fall asleep. But I'm willing to cherish the moments till I drift off. Oh well, at least you keep the pests away. Good kitty. Chin scritchins. Rest well. Later we'll finish the grooming. Maybe I'll put some bows in. Good. The underdeck cabin is warm. She is quite cool at first, but as she begins to relax and ceases exerting her energies into the surrounding cabin, her natural body temperature returns. She burns, almost febrile. The heat moves through you. She is a tiny furnace. You feel the purr rise in your throat as you wonder how many of the promises and admonitions she's made she'll still remember when her nap is done. Bring her in here and she decides to nap. If you hadn't thrown anything off the table, she might have kept working all night. You are a very good kitty. The creak of the door into the place you've been resting, which is the bedroom of the bosun, your mistress, who controls the necromantic crew that rows this ship. The door creaks open, and a figure enters. Short cropped red hair, wolf grin. The first mate is here, an alchemist far exceeding your mistress, who doesn't even keep a lab. Her effortless mixtures in the field have helped more than one crew woman who stepped on a snake or stumbled into some thorn or vine or trap. And she's here because she's dating your mistress. You look up immediately and roll out of the way. You've learned that when you don't roll out of the way, she just drops down on top of you, and she is muscular and heavy. She's wearing a wraparound skirt with a blue floral pattern and a bandeau, little else. The fabric just barely covers her breasts, which are taut high B-cups, nipples pointed and aroused. She has a bandana tied over her red hair, in a similar floral pattern to the wrap around her lower body. And predictably, she drops onto the bed next to your mistress, who snuggles quickly up against the first mate's muscled forearm. Hello, dear. Ah, I saw the shattered beaker out there, says the first mate. Let me guess. She reaches out and grabs you by the scruff of your neck. You whimper and immediately lean in to the touch. This one? You see your mistress nod, her pointed, pale face twisted with a grin. That's right. The first mate lifts you bodily over her lap, a far less pleasant place to be than your mistress's, although you're purring as her hand grips the back of your neck. The scent of her fills the air, verdant, sharp, pleasurably invasive. The scent of her enters into you, the alchemical mixture that she makes and wears. It rivals the captain's demigod pheromones by a wide margin, and she herself is immune to them, due to a tincture of poisons only she can drink on a daily basis. And now her hand comes down, strong as it is, and slaps your ass, causing you to shudder. Your tail stands straight on end. Heat gathers there. She leaves her hand against your skin, rubbing in circles, right over the place where she smacked. The echoing reverberation fills you, and she does it again. You see your mistress's smiling face as she watches, and you feel report after report echoing your body, inducing pleasure. The pleasure has more than a little to do with the fact you're laying over the lap of a 6-foot-tall, muscled redhead, who's anybody's wet dream. And a little bit to do with that perfume of hers. Invigorating. Makes the body want to do what it's made to do. And yours is definitely made for bedrooms and pushing things off counters. Of course, the first mate is not just bringing her muscled hand down on your ass, rubbing at the base of your tail. She is also using the other hand to grip the nape of your neck, holding you, pinning you in a submission position augmented by the spice and lime and rum of her cologne. You breathe deeply on purpose and hear her amused chuckle from above. You also hear her leaning over to kiss your mistress. The necromancer trails her febrile hands over the back of your neck, meeting the red-haired first mate's hand, which is much cooler by contrast. And then there are two powerful, gripping influences on the submission spot on the back of your neck as the spanking continues. The two women kiss above you. The scent of the first mate's arousal, which always chemically changes her cologne, fills the air. You hear little moans and sighs. Your mistress is highly sensitive, as you have learned. And so, when her girlfriend kisses her, or when she invites you between her legs, or when you cuddle up against her and touch her in just the exact right, wrong way, she moans, and her dark robes, which rest over that very warm lap you've laid in so many times, they tent up between her legs. She hasn't noticed. She's too engrossed in kissing the muscled redhead who is languorously slapping your ass, sending reverberations between your legs, between your ears. You whimper. You can see her arousal, her enjoyment, the flush on her normally pale features, drained of vigor by the magics she uses to keep the boat moving. You reflect on your mistress. You see more than people notice. You're not just a pleasure-driven kitty. She does so much good work, and that's why long ago you pledged to service that length of hers, even though it intensifies the very magic that makes you a good submissive familiar. To service her every time she gets horny, if you get a chance. You lean forward, nuzzling your nose against her erection, drawing her attention to it, but more importantly, drawing the attention of the first mate who's been slapping your ass. Instantly, the muscled redhead stops that and reaches out to grab hold of your mistress' member, jerking it once through the robe. Her eyes roll back. The necromancer's entire body shudders. Don't. Yes. Her protest turns into a desire halfway through, and then she's humping against the hand. Apparently she's been pent up. Her magics can do that. And now she's being ministered to. The scent of her arousal fills the air. Your tongue hangs out. You're drooling in an unseemly way, but neither of them mentions it. Of course, neither of them would mention it. They're focused on each other, But you do feel our first mate twining her legs around yours, pushing her soaked snatch against your thigh, using you for friction. She's wet and groaning in her own right, and the two are making out above you as you just watch. Your long-spanked, long-suffering butt is now slowly coming down from its heated high. Of course, all that really happens is that she periodically puts a hand on your butt and rubs. But that cock is seldom neglected. You can't even see it through the robes. And it's leaving a small damp spot at the very tip, dripping there as a result of the jerking off she's receiving from the first mate across whose lap you lay, with whose legs you're twined. She's holding you firmly in place, and you know she could lift you up bodily by the scruff of your neck, so to avoid the indignity. Of course, that's why you just stare at the entrancing, binding cock of your mistress as it's finally brought into view, as the robes are finally lifted to reveal firm, long, hard. You remember her early experiments when it was just a strap-on made of polished, curved bone, but with considerable help from the alchemist, whose lap you're laying on, whose pussy you're grinding against, whose scent you're breathing in, whose mercy you're at, she managed to form a firm, rigid, delicious length. You lean in and kiss up it quickly, joining the hand that's jerking it off. Your tongue touches it. Neither of them questions your right to be there. After all, you have so long worshipped this length, so long served your mistress in the depths of the night with no restraint, no pride, just the shameless truth that you need it. You push your lips against the base where her balls are firm, rigid, gradually filling with her cream, on which you've been conditioned more than long enough. You extend your clawed hands, gripping at her thigh through the robes that have been pulled aside, and beginning to knead, purring deep in your throat, which just causes vibration against her skin. Her moans, her panting, and a hand sliding down between your legs as you've been disentangled from the first mate's thighs. She's repositioning herself to be above both of you, to look down and watch. She pushes your face against the shaft, encouraging you to breathe in your mistress, sliding you up the length to the tip. Your long tongue, you drool, copiously lubricating the shaft, looking at the tip. It's not very large, but it's extremely sensitive. From the moment you began sucking, your mistress has been recoiling against the couch you're sitting on now, has been pulling at the upholstery below, has been rolling her hips so that the tip of her cock bangs against your lips, dribbling fluid. Cream, you need your cream. A little pre-cum is okay, but it's so much better when you get the real thing right in your mouth, and it does so much to you. Desperate as you are, you feel the first mate's grinding progress toward climax as she humps against your butt. No strap-on in place, and no cock to be had. She has plenty of double-ended toys, and a strap-on that fastens nicely around her clit. But right now she's just grinding her admittedly quite large clitoris, which has pushed loose from its hood and is now pushing against your butt just under your tail. She grinds on you that way, but she is mostly just enjoying watching you service your mistress so thoroughly. You fasten around the head, you suction down on it, sucking in your cheeks, and you get an even bigger flood of pre-seed. You're on the right track. Your mistress is just barely holding on. It seems like she wants to reach out and stop you, and normally she might have dictated the show, but she knows that with the first mate, who likes to watch her come present, she would just be overruled. So instead, she's leaning back. You see more. You see quite a lot for someone whose senses are entirely consumed by the rigidness between your lips, on which you work your saliva, slurping length of tongue. Sensitive as you are thoroughly devoted to that hard-on. Something in your brain, trained over night after night spent in her bed, tells you this is where good kitties belong. And it doesn't help to free you, and that the first mate above you is murmuring, "Good kitty, such a good kitty." She's even running her short, well-manicured nails over the back of your head, between your ears, back and forth along your scalp, just rubbing again and again, producing a tingling that just makes giving the blowjob feel even better. You squeeze your thighs around her hand, emphasizing your own need, which has been completely flooded into the air with assistance from your mistress. Your mistress' presence in your mouth is enough, more than enough. It takes you over, takes you deep, takes you to a place from which you cannot help but want to return, into a place from which escape is impossible. You suck, you slurp, you drool. You are in a complete thrall, complete obedience, fulfilling the contract by which she fills you with so many useful little transformations, giving you your gorgeous kitty form, and of course you're so proud of that that you're proud of getting to serve as her personal cock-sucking toy. Slurp and lick that magically enhanced length. You can feel it swelling. You make a little noise in your throat, more than a purr, more like a whimper. And above you, oh, oh, more, 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 more. Your mistress is repeating a litany of simple, obvious, uncontrollable pleasure. She is racked with it. She would normally go slower, but she both wants to put on a show and knows that she could be bullied quite nicely by the first mate into letting you suck her until she breaks with pleasure. And the waves do break on you, the heat of her, the scent of her, your chin against her balls, which just feels so big, so full, you would happily lick them to coax more cream, but the world where you can bring your lips away from her length without her permission just doesn't exist. You know that through all of this, nothing has been released, nothing has stopped. You are just caught in pleasure. You will remain caught in pleasure. You are where you belong, lips wrapped around her, sucking her, worshipping. Sometimes you can extend your tongue enough just to flick over her balls and feel the soft flesh, but mostly you are caught. Caught in this, caught in her ministration, caught in you. The longer this goes on, the more you breathe her in, and the closer she gets, your cream is coming. Kitty needs cream. You notice that among the friction of your gentle, tickling, tingling scritches, the first mate has been winding something gently into the fur, gently into your hair behind your ears. You know it's a bow. She always puts bows on you when you're not paying attention, and you like them, but you owe it to your kitty pride to tear them off. So right now you're happy you're too captivated with the necromancer's cock to do anything. Your mistress needs relief. Your mistress needs release, needs suction and service and mindless. You breathe in mixture of the cologne from the first mate on whose lap you lay, slowly dosing you into an oblivious, orgasmic stupor. You need to suck, you need to serve, and you are sucking, are serving, are craving. She's going to come. Her balls are tensing. Her brain is as rapturous as yours, so you don't have to worry about your pride because the two of you are in this together. Both in too much pleasure to do anything. You suck, you drool, you dribble over her. You can feel thicker pre-cum, but no cum yet. She hasn't squirted yet. She might squirt soon, and then you'll get your cream. Kitty needs cream. There are bows slowly being braided in your hair. It seems the first mate got up and found your brush and is running it along your hair. Your back is slowly influencing you to feel cared for and pampered, even as you suck and service the best possible little toy, the best little kitty suction toy for your mistress. She's still so hot. Her cock is unnaturally hot. Hotter than you can imagine. She's getting even warmer, and she's clearly being influenced by that cologne, too. The dripping influence, because her pussy is drooling behind the balls, and her balls are tensing up. She's so full. Her cream is drooling into your mouth. She's going to squirt. She's going to squirt. It's trembling, periodic trembling, her whole body. It goes up through her core. It fills her. She's hotter than normal. The smell of arousal has filled the room. You and the watching eyes of many skeletons along the wall and the first mate overseeing it all. Her red hair disheveled and sweated as she comes down in your vision, looking right at you as you're sucking off her girlfriend, your mistress. And then she grabs you by the submission spot on the back of your head right before your mistress is going to come and pulls you off of the cock. No more cock in your mouth, empty mouth, your tongue strains in the air. You don't care about anything but getting back on there. You can't have her seed be wasted. You've swallowed every load in your memory. You want your cream, need your cream. You wonder how much of your mind is made to need that cream by now. The soft, petite contours of your mistress right there, her inner thighs, she's so frail, so delicate, her length thin and pale and gorgeous in front of you, being pointed into a bowl that the first mate's holding in her other hand. She's clearly making eye contact with your dark-eyed mistress above you. And the first mate says something, something which simply catalyzes with that arousing lime and rum and spice in the air. She commands, and it's not intended for you, but it almost puts you there. She says, "Come." Deep, husky, invasive, a command, and even though your tongue is not on your mistress's cock, and your mistress is not touching that thin, pale member, it squirts uselessly, limply into the bowl that your captor is holding. The first mate has the bowl there for long, limp spurts of cream to fall into, quite a bit, more than 2 or even 3 tablespoons, for while the member is small, delicate, suckable, you love it, the balls are quite big and copious because both of them like long, hot, thrusting cream pies together. You wish that you were coming in you. You wish you were coming in your mouth. You wanted to swallow. But you're being made to watch, sniffing the air, extending your tongue, wanting your cream, craving it in a desperate physiological way, clearly tied to your bond to your mistress. And now the bowl is full. The necromancer clicks her tongue at her girlfriend. "Why didn't you do that? I like getting swallowed." "Oh, it's still going to get drank, honey," says the redhead, who puts the bowl on the floor on a little padded mat next to the couch, and then, lifting you bodily, one hand still on the submission spot on your neck, puts you, bows in your hair, fur freshly brushed, feels so warm, so good, down in front of the bowl. And you extend your tongue, shameless, thoughtless, mindless, savoring the flavor flowing into you. "Okay, but you've got to get off too," says your mistress to the first mate behind you. She slaps your ass and you groan your assent, raising your butt. You hear her sliding a strap-on on, a long, thick toy, which slips inside of you effortlessly because it shifts shape to perfectly fit inside. Slide inside. You are flooded and filled. And her clit is being milked by the toy the two of you are sharing. She thrusts and thrusts, moaning. Your mistress stands, adjusting her robes over her now limp cock. "We're both going to have to clean up, but I can't send you back up to the captain if you're this horny. You know she's a hot mess, and I'm not getting into a polycule with that," explains your mistress. The first mate chuckles. "Hey, she's seen us through." "Sure, but just because you like somebody does not inherently mean you should be in a relationship," explains your mistress, having chatter with the groaning, grunting redhead who's using your body as a sleeve. And you lick, and you get thrusted into, and you lick, and you get thrusted into the salty, sweet cream that she has custom manufactured to be extra palatable to you. Slurp, slurp, mindless, hot, dripping, your body being filled, being used, and you love it, and you want it, and you didn't have to say a word. They knew enough to lend you the opportunity, and then for you to say yes in your own way, by just wiggling your hips, by grinding back against her, by slurping up the cream until your mind is gone, and anything other than drinking and sucking and taking a nap after this is a distant, useless dream belonging to someone who isn't a good kitty, waiting for your next mischief, your next buck, or your mistress's next great experiment.